There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, and I write for all the titles in Greenspan Media Group, including The Sunday, our news magazine, which comes out on the Sunday, except when it comes out on...
The Saturday.
The Saturday. Trish McCrone, tell us about yourself, beautiful.
Well, first of all, I have to do this. A very early happy birthday on Tuesday, August 11th. Our mom... turns 80, so happy birthday, Marilyn McCrone. Happy 80th birthday. I love you.
Happy birthday, Marilyn.
Yes, and she's your future date to Bon Jovi.
When Bon Jovi comes back to Las Vegas, Marilyn and I are going to hit it.
Yes, and also tonight is Neil McCoy, that are one of our former guests, that hopefully some people are there at his show as well.
He's
love
over
him.
At the... Gold Nugget.
Yeah, right? At the Gold Nugget. And we're really excited about today's guest because we're going to get right to it.
We are going to get right to it. He is a leader among leaders and one of the great entertainers ever to perform in this city. He had a long-running show at the Monte Carlo. It is Lance Burton, master magician, here to talk about a new movie he's behind. But first, more movies with Josh Bell. So stick around. I know we will.
Hi, it's Brad Garrett, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Takes a cold one to know one. Takes a call on no one.
Whose song is that?
It's mine. I wrote it.
You wrote that?
Long time ago.
That's Meryl Streep as the title character in Ricky and the Flash. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Ricky is a one-time Midwestern suburban wife and mother who ditched her family to follow her rock and roll dreams to Los Angeles. Those dreams never came true, and decades later, she attempts to reconnect with her grown kids in this awkwardly paced dramedy. Typically sharp screenwriter Diablo Cody writes weak comedy and weaker drama, and director Jonathan Demme seems more interested in filming full performances of cliched rock covers by Ricky's believably mediocre band than in moving the story forward or spending time on character development. I give Ricky and the Flash 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is The Gift, a psychological thriller starring Jason Bateman and Rebecca Hall.
Well, we have to thank him this time.
For what? Coming onto our property without asking? No. This is not troubling to you?
I really don't think that he meant it to be troubling. He wouldn't see it like that. He just thinks he's giving us some fish.
You know, they used to call him weirdo in school.
Bateman and Hall's married couple Simon and Robin run into Gordo, played by writer-director Joel Edgerton, a creepy loner from Simon's past who appears way too eager to befriend the couple. Edgerton subverts expectations with his stylish thriller, although he eventually succumbs to a cheap, sensationalistic twist ending. While that undermines some of the thematic effectiveness, it doesn't ruin the elegance of the story leading up to it. I give The Gift 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is a bona fide Las Vegas legend. He's an icon, ladies and gentlemen. His career in this city dates to his appearances with Follies Bergère at the Tropicana in 1981. Wow. He was a headliner at a theater named for him, of course, at the Monte Carlo from 1996 to 2010. At that point, he stepped away from the stage, ending a 31 career as a live performer in this city. Today, he is the producer, director, writer, and star of a new movie called Billy Toppet, Master Magician. The character is, of course, a Las Vegas magician, as is he. The film premieres on September 24th at Brendan Theatres at the Palms and is a fundraiser for a number of Las Vegas charities. Here to talk about the film and his career is the great Lance Burton. Lance, thanks for coming down.
Hey, thank you. I will translate for people who are just tuning in. The word icon and legend, those are euphemisms. Because it's impolite to call him an old guy.
Oh, never.
But that's what it means.
Well, we also I
there
also
are a few
wanna
young
add,
legends, right?
I also want to add one of the nicest guys in Las Vegas ever. always. Just such a gentleman. You were such a, like, sweetheart, no one can say a bad thing about you.
Oh, bless your heart.
Because you're a wonderful man,
well,
and
you know
we're
who
so
my
happy that
role
you're
model is been for all these years?
No.
Mr. Wayne Newton.
Mm-hmm.
World class charisma.
Newton. I took my mom to see, my mom and dad to see Wayne Newton back in the early 80s when I was at the Folies Bergère, and I was a review show act. I was doing 12 minutes in the show, and they came to visit, and I, on my day off, I said, you know, what do y'all want to see? And mom says, I want to go see Wayne Newton. And I said, okay. So I bought tickets, and Wayne was appearing over at, then it was called the MGM, now it's called Bally's. Mm-hmm. In the celebrity showroom, and we went in, and we had the most wonderful time. It's the first time I'd seen Wayne perform live, and he came out, and he started doing his show. And I'm sitting there in the audience, and I'm looking around going, man, this crowd is dead. These people are like, they must have been up for 2 days because they are all just like sitting here, and this guy is amazing. Wayne was singing, doing requests, playing all the instruments, but it was a really slow crowd, and Wayne never gave up on them. He kept doing his thing, and he kept taking requests, and he kept joking around, and he kept joking with the band, and after the end, at 2 hours, he sang his last song at about the 2 hour mark, and that audience jumped to their feet and gave him a standing ovation. And I, as a young performer just starting out, am sitting in the audience looking around, and my mouth drops open, and I said, "Oh my God, I didn't know this was possible. I didn't know you could take an audience that was that slow and that dead at the beginning, and turn them around and get a standing ovation." And that's when the light kind of went on in my head, and I said, "I want to do that. I want to do what Wayne Newton."
Well, you
does.
Do. You're, I mean, one of the most phenomenal entertainers that we've ever had.
Well, not anymore.
Seriously, no. I mean, always just an incredible show every single time. I did see you perform many, many times. I kept going back.
Bless
and
you.
I know that Wayne loves you.
But I've been retired for 5 years, and I've been doing this.
I was just
going to
say, I don't know if that's retirement because you have basically did everything with this movie. Tell us a little bit about the plot.
Well, the plot is it's Billy Toppet is a magician in Las Vegas, but he's not really a successful magician. He doesn't perform on the Strip. He doesn't headline in a hotel. He performs at children's birthday parties. So he's sort of stuck in that entry-level job that all of us started out in.
Is that how you started out?
Exactly. When I was about 10 or 12 years old, I started performing at kids' birthday parties. And I'd get paid maybe $5 to do a show, which in those days was great money. You could go out on a Saturday and mow 2 or 3 lawns and earn $5. So it's a lot more fun to go and do a magic show.
Sure, yeah.
So that's the main character, and his friends are also birthday party entertainers. There's two guys that do a juggling act. There's a ventriloquist. There's a guy who's sort of a mime and shows up in different costumes depending on what they request, a pirate or a clown or whatever. Now, did you see the movie The Avengers?
Yes.
Yes, okay. It's exactly like The Avengers.
Okay.
Except we don't have Robert Downey Jr.
Uh-huh. And, well, they have you, though.
And, yes, I stand in for Robert Downey Jr. And no one has superpowers.
Well, I don't know. Magic.
But they have skills.
There you go.
So you have guys that can juggle. You have guys, a guy that does ventriloquism and mime and a magician. So in order to save the girl during the movie, to do the rescue, they have to use their juggling skills, their magic skills.
That is phenomenal.
Finally found a use for juggling.
So Michael Goudeau and I co-wrote the screenplay.
And
Michael,
he was in your show
Michael
for many
was,
years.
Michael
yes.
was my guest
Very
star
talented.
In my show for about 20 years. And Michael is actually an Emmy-nominated writer. He was, for about 10 years, the executive producer and head writer on Penn & Teller's Showtime series.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yes, and so Michael is very, you know, I've known him since the 80s when we both were at the Folies Bergère. He's a very funny man. So we wrote the screenplay, and we worked in a lot of magic and juggling and sort of variety arts into the plot of the movie. So it's not like we just stop the action so someone can do a magic trick or juggle. It's incorporated into the story.
Right. You've got some friends in this cast.
Yes.
Michael Hawley.
I called on all my friends.
I see this. This looks like a dinner party at
Michael
your house.
Hawley,
Russ Merlin.
He plays the other juggler. Matt King.
Louis Anderson, Fielding West.
Johnny Thompson.
The great Tom Sony.
Oh my gosh.
Frankie Shinta.
He comes in and blows everybody away, doesn't he?
Frankie's in our poker scene. He's a poker player.
Okay.
We have Chris Angel as a cameo. Louis Anderson, we mentioned. Let's see. Geez, there's so many. It's all sort of a blur now.
But this, was it difficult to assemble this cast?
The tricky part, what I would call people up and I would say, listen, we're shooting this movie and I've written a part for you. And they would go, oh, this sounds great. This sounds like a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be shooting on Sunday and I'm going to send you your scene. And the best part is, you don't get paid. that's how I'd kind of sell it to my friends.
Get them all.
No, it's just fun. We're just having fun.
They call that the reveal in your business. The reveal.
Yeah.
what was the reason, the chief motivation for doing this film now?
I wanted to see the movie. I wanted to see this. Before I die.
Uh-huh. When was the seed planted? How long have you been thinking
about it? Seed was planted back around 1973.
Whoa.
When I was a kid. I was about 13 years old. The greatest television show in the history of mankind came on, and it only lasted for one season, 26 episodes. But I was the world's biggest fan of this show.
What was it?
It starred Bill Bixby. Okay. As
The Incredible Hulk.
The Magician. This was before The Incredible
Hulk.
He did a series called The Magician, and he played a magician who solved crimes and helped people out, and it was fantastic when you're a kid and you're crazy about magic, and that's all you ever want to do with your life is perform magic. And here's a series where the lead guy is a magician. And so that sort of planted the seed in my mind.
And when did you start writing it?
Well, we wrote the screenplay in 2009, but I had been working on it for years after that. In 1985, when I was at the Tropicana Hotel, I did a guest starring role on an episode of Knight Rider with David Hasselhoff. I played a character called Austin Templeton, who was a magician and also an assassin on the side.
Wow.
So I was the bad guy that week. And I got to do magic and act and fight and run and car chases, and it was great fun. And my friend who was the magical advisor on that episode was Mark Wilson, very famous, very well-known magician who had done TV specials back in the 70s in America. Well, Mark was also the magic advisor on the Bill Bixby series. With talking with Mark, we got to chatting on the set and everything, and one day he turns to me and says, Lance, how do you like this work, what you're doing here this week? And I said, oh, Mark, I'm having the time of my life. I get to do magic. I get to act in scenes. I get to run and do this work with the stunt guys, and this is fantastic. I'm having the time of my life. And he says, well, you're doing a good job, and you should think about doing more of this. Now, what are you talking about? Well, you should work on put something together, a series or something. And so he sort of encouraged me, planted that seed in my mind.
But then you were so busy.
I was busy working all this time.
I mean, Bill Bixby played the role of Tony Blake.
Tony Blake.
Playboy philanthropist.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
And magician.
And
help the helpless and solve crimes.
But how strange is that, that working on a show that – I thought I knew most television shows ranging back a long, long way, and I've never heard of this show, but that you would be working on Knight Rider and a guy that worked on a very obscure show would be, and then how it would come up that he worked on that show is even crazier. It's kind of like everything fell into place.
Yeah, the Magician only lasted one season, and what Mark explained to me was that it actually did well, but the head of the network changed.
It was
musical chairs. So the new guy came in at the end of the season, and so the first thing they do is you get rid of all of your predecessor shows. So it got canceled. But
that's so great.
Yeah.
Now, how does somebody get into magic? I mean, just was it something that you saw as a little kid?
Yes.
Was it something?
Yes. There was a moment when I was about 5 years old and was at a Christmas party. My dad worked at a building supply company in Louisville, and my mom worked at the Frito-Lay plant making potato chips. And it was at the Frito-Lay Christmas party for the employees. So my whole family, my mom, my dad, me, and my little sister were there. And there was a guy doing a magic show. His name was Harry Collins. And he was, at that time, a sales manager at the Frito-Lay plant. And he was a terrific magician, an excellent, excellent magician. And he was doing a show at the Christmas party, and he asked for a volunteer. And I was the kid that raised my hand and got picked. I mean, all the kids were raising their hands, but he picked me. He pointed at me, and I went up on stage. And he started to do this trick where he reached behind my ear, and he pulled out a silver dollar. And then from behind my elbow, and this was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. And at that age, I didn't understand what I was experiencing. I didn't know that he was an illusionist.
Yeah.
I thought it was real.
Well, sure, yeah.
I thought there was money hidden in my hair.
You mean there's not?
behind my ears. So every day for the next week, I would wake up and I would look in the bathroom mirror and I would feel around behind my ears.
Shaking your head around.
I'm checking my elbows. And finally, I think someone must have noticed my interest in magic or noticed me checking my hair all day long. And someone finally explained to me, no, it's not real magic. This man has studied this, and it's sleight of hand, and he's and that's what a magician is.
And that did that ignite your curiosity even more?
Yes.
Knowing it wasn't magic,
right,
made
because,
it possible, huh?
Because I figured, at 5 years old, I figured if you're born with magic powers, if you're like, you know, if you're like Harry Potter,
yes, exactly. Sure.
Then you got the powers.
Yeah.
But if you're a normal kid, you're screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to
be
able to do this. But when I found out it was a skill you could learn, then I thought, okay, maybe there's hope for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing is the neighbor next door noticed my interest in magic, and she gave me a little book that had belonged to her children who were grown. But it was a book called Magic Made Easy, and it was a book. It had about 10 or 12 little small simple tricks, and it was a children's book. But it explained how to do the tricks.
What was in the book? What were one of the tricks?
Oh, like to make a quarter disappear, or cut a ribbon in half, and restore.
Basic
it.
Sleight of hand.
Basic, basic, just
which
beginner's
is
tricks.
A lot harder. I'm just going to say, as an adult, that it's a lot harder than it seems because I was taught a French drop, I think is what they call
it. Yeah, the French drop. Le tourniquet.
Yes. So that was like my basic skill that I was taught. And I worked on this every day. And it got to the point, though, where I became so confused. I was misdirecting myself and would forget where everything was. It's a very difficult. Just because you know how it's done does not mean you truly understand how it's done.
Yeah, I'm going to do the rabbit trick.
Okay, there's
you.
A rabbit trick happening.
Now, here's
right
the
now.
Rabbit. Now, John, you'll just have to explain to the
okay,
listeners
we have
what's
two
that.
Small, what seem to be toy rabbits. They're sponge rabbits.
Mm-hmm. Now hold your hand out. Like this is Peter Rabbit. I'm going to hold on to Peter
He's got
Rabbit.
Peter in his
You're
left.
You're going to hold Gladys, his wife. Squeeze
okay.
Gladys
in
his, he wants
and
to visit Trish's his wife. He doesn't want the nosy neighbor to see him. I have to make him invisible.
Oh my gosh.
And there he goes.
I have no idea where it went.
He travels down the hill. He jumped into the rabbit hutch. Did you feel him land in your hand?
No.
You didn't feel anything?
No, I didn't feel anything.
Slowly open your hand up and let's see if he made it.
Oh my God, there's two rabbits in my hand.
See, this is unbelievable.
See, this is magic. This is magic. I'm sorry, you did get magical powers.
Here,
there's
I'm gonna,
no skill to
I'll
it.
I'll do it backwards. You hold Peter and Gladys, and he'll jump back into my hand.
Okay.
Okay, squeeze
okay.
real tight.
Trish
okay.
now has got both rabbits, sponge rabbits, in her left hand and clenched.
And he has nothing
Lance,
in his hand.
And Lance in his left hand is clenched,
now,
nothing in his
count
hand.
Count to five out loud.
One, two, three, four. Five.
Now, did you feel anything that time?
No.
No. Okay. Oh, oops. Okay, he didn't make it. I know.
Nothing in his hand.
You have to say the magic words. You have to say, Peter Rabbit, go to town.
Peter Rabbit, go to town.
Now, you felt it that time, didn't you?
No.
No. Something's gone horribly wrong. Slowly open your hand. Slowly.
She's opening her hand now.
Oh, my God. There's like They have babies. They've got
They're
four
like
babies.
A half dozen.
Those rabbits are magic. No, Lance, this was in my hand the entire time. I was
totally clenched.
Yes. So there is no, you are magical. I am the person that still believes
it's magic.
How
many are there? Like
there
seven?
Are,
six?
No, there are now, half including dozen. The mom and dad, there are four little babies and four is my lucky number. And they're so adorable. He is magic. See,
how long did it take you to master that?
That was
how many hours?
I don't know. That was in a magic set when I was a kid. Not these sponges. Those are
not this very set, but that trick. Yeah.
But that trick.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed. This is like one of the cutest things I've ever seen. I'm taking a picture.
This is what's interesting about you guys, because I saw Johnny. I've seen him a couple times this month, and every time I shake hands with him or I'm around him, I'm always checking myself to make sure my wallet is still there, because he will take my glasses. I mean, he will take things and just not say anything about it. But you know, I was interviewing Lance Matt Franco.
At
the Link, and yes. As we talk, he will have been open for about a month or so at the Link showroom. Young man whose history of is same about as yours. You know, did a lot of birthday parties. He saw it on TV, and he was ignited that way and interested in that capacity. Is the industry of magic and the culture of magic as strong as it was when you came up, do you think? Do you think there's that the same type of culture out there that wants to do this? Because he's a 27-year-old kid, and he's got a show on the Strip, and he won America's Got Talent. But yeah. I don't know if there's a bunch of Matt Francos out there.
There are a lot of young people interested in magic out there. And I met Matt Franco. I had lunch with him a month or two ago. And he's a very nice kid, and I know he's working really hard to get his show open here on the Strip, and I wish him the best of luck. He's a really, really nice kid, and I haven't seen him work. I haven't had an opportunity to see him work, but I do plan on going
Johnny's
to see his show.
Johnny's helping him.
Yeah, and Johnny Thompson, he's involved. My mentor, Johnny Thompson, is working with him on the stage show. So he's in good hands. He's got good advisors. here's what I've noticed with the young people doing magic. They have a young magicians group at the Magic Castle out in Hollywood, and I spoke to them. I did a little lecture for them about 2 years ago, and then before that, it was about 10 or 15 years before that. And so the first time I spoke with them, I said, "How many?" And it's like 100 kids there at the thing. And I said, "How many of you are interested in stage magic?" And about half the kids raised their hand. And I said, "How many of you are into close-up magic?" And about half the kids raised their hand. Now, this last time I was there, which was only about 2 years ago, same thing. I said, "How many of you are interested in stage magic?" Two kids raised their hand.
Wow.
How many of you are interested in close-up magic? 98 kids raised their hand. So
I am surprised at that in a way.
Does
that surprise you?
It did surprise me.
Yeah.
It surprised me very much.
Because that's the
much.
Core of the art, right?
I mean, all magic is important, and all magic is an art that you need to study and practice and perform to get good at.
But having spent some time in my life with a magician, I believe that the stage magic, if I'm wrong, please correct me, is much easier.
What you've just said is 100% wrong.
Really?
Yes. And I'll try to explain why. in order to engage someone and entertain them and have moment with them, which is the goal.
Yeah.
If you're doing close-up magic, I can touch your hand like I just did with the rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
I can have the magic happen inside your hand. That is really powerful.
Yeah.
Because the magic is happening to you personally inside
your... Yeah, that's
your...
why I would think that's more difficult.
No. The tricks, it's not the difficulty in the tricks. The tricks, you practice the tricks.
Oh, I would think because it's up close, you have more of a chance to try to figure it out.
That's like saying, is it more difficult to play the violin in a room for two people or more difficult to play for 1,000 people? It's the same thing. There's no difference.
The difference is the audience and not necessarily the performance, is that what you're saying?
But now, to make contact with someone, to actually touch them, you know, emotionally or spiritually with 1,000 people, well, you can't have the rabbits appear in everyone's hand.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so that's the challenge. You want to connect with that person, but how do you do that without being able to touch them and have it happen in their hand? So that's the challenge is much bigger
but
on stage.
But now for you, though, because you're just an – I mean, I've long believed that you're just a natural entertainer. Like, well, you – I mean, you go – like you have a charisma that I don't think you can teach.
That happens on stage. I don't think you can teach that. What that entails is flight time, having so many shows under your belt. In my career I've done 15,000 shows.
Wow.
And I know Wayne's got up to be like 25,000.
Yeah, I think it was 25,000 like 15 years ago or 20 years ago.
But when he started out, he was working in Las Vegas. They were doing like what, six shows a night?
Six shows a night.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
I mean, I have to say, Lance, that I miss you on the Strip.
Oh,
because
thank you.
You were kind of that go-to show that if someone said, oh, we want to, you know, we want to see something, obviously we would have family that would come in town and they would see Wayne and they're like, what other shows should we see? You were always the first name that came out of Wayne's mouth, our mouths to come and see you. So I miss seeing you and your magic on the show.
Well, I always tried to go straight down the middle with the show. I always wanted a show that everyone could enjoy, whether you're an adult or a kid or a senior citizen, whether you spoke English or you're from Japan or China or South America. You know, I tried to have a show that was visually and enough comedy in it that, you know, that hopefully everybody could find something that they like. And that's basically what I've done with the film also. It's it's a family film, but it's a general audience
and
film.
And it's centered in Las Vegas, which continues to be the center of magic in the world.
Exactly.
Doesn't it?
Yes. Still more shows in Las Vegas
exactly.
than any city.
I was going to ask you about something as we wrap it up here, Lance. We have Penn & Teller over at The Real, obviously. Your friend Mac still burning it up at Harrah's after 15 years. Both those shows are killing. Jan Reuven. David Copperfield and Chris Angel, we mentioned, just on the corner of the Boulevard in Tropicana, it's as strong as ever.
Yeah.
And have you ever considered and had a real opportunity to return to the stage? There's certainly an audience for a guy like you at that level and in that scope to come back at one of these venues.
You know, I had so I don't want to sound like I'm not grateful for the opportunities I've had. I had so much fun performing here in Las Vegas. It was really a privilege to be able to entertain people, and I had such a great time doing it. But every day, you know, your life revolves around walking out on stage, preparing all day long, and it's a lot. It takes a lot of dedication to do that year in, year out. And I had such a great time doing it. You know, after being retired now for 5 years, I'm just having such a great time with my dogs at home.
and your sponge rabbits.
I was just going to say, he keeps multiplying. He's got to have millions of them in his house.
I hope the dogs aren't multiplying. So that you need to fix these rabbits. All right, Magic Man, we have reached the end of this show.
Oh,
the movie
I
is Billy Toppet, Master Magician. It opens September 24th at Brendan Theatres at the Palms. Check it out. It's loaded with great talent.
And that's our world premiere.
World premiere. Yay. And we'll be there. And we're going to interview you again after this thing opens, okay? We'll bring you back.
Thank you very much. And if people want to go, they can go to BillyToppet.com.
BillyToppet.com. Yep.